Good morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
We welcome you today to our service of worship here at Emmanuel, a part of the Old Town Partnership of Churches. Whether you are a regular or a visitor here today, please feel at home. We welcome you too if you're listening to the recording on the internet and send you our best wishes. This morning's reading is read by Pam Weston, and the prayers of intercession are by me, Liz Gibney. Please join us for coffee and tea after this service in the back premises. You will be most welcome. For more notices, please look in Weekly News. There should be copies at the back if you haven't seen one already. And finally, we will have a few moments of silence as I light the Christ candle.
Good morning and welcome to our worship service today. According to a few conversations I had before the service started, don't get too used to that yellow light in the sky. It is an optical illusion, I've heard, that happens every so often in this part of the world. Reality will come back by about midday today, when that which we naturally call rain will be with us once again. I don't know if that's true or not, but just be prepared, if of anything. We gather for worship to celebrate God's love for us and the challenges of our journey in faith. Psalm 98 has these words: "O sing to the Lord a new song, for the Lord has done marvelous things. The Lord will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." And we will do exactly that. We will sing. As the choir has led us in the introit, now congregation responds with hymn 74 from Rejoice and Sing. Hymn 74, Praise to the Lord the Almighty. Thank you. That sounded powerful, didn't it? Well done. We come before God with prayer, and we will end the prayer sharing the words of the Lord's Prayer all together. Let us pray. Loving God, we come before you, amazed and wondered by your creation, lifted by the power of song, amazed by the beauty that surrounds us, thankful for friendship and kindness. Challenged, because on the journey of faith, you offer us new possibilities. We sang to you just now, as Psalm 98 asked us to do, O sing to the Lord, the wonder of creation. And we see, O Lord, but do we hear? Do we let it speak to us? Do we hear the cries? Are we amazed by what goes on? Or do we just tick the box and keep going? Lord, this is a wonderful time in so many things. It is a hard time in so many things. And we trust that you are with us in the good and the bad, in the easy and the difficult, when we have the answers and when only questions haunt us. Thank you for what was, because that has allowed us to be here today. And thank you for what is to come. Thank you for those who guided us, who taught us, who showed us there were new ways. We thank you for those who have held our hand in those moments where we were overwhelmed. We thank you that you remind us that we aren't alone, because you are the one that calls us by name. And each and every one of us and of your children everywhere is important to you. We pray that they may be important to us. We confess that we don't always live up to your expectations, and forget that in your grace, when we fall, your hand is always stretched out to help us up. We confess that we deny you in word and action and thought or omission, but you are always there on the road, ready to run towards us and embrace us when we return. We confess that we get used to seeing cruelty, and sometimes it's just a little bit more. But then you speak to us through those who have given their time and their talents to make this a better world. We are your people. We are part of the church in the world. We work with others. And there is still so much that can be done. Restore us to the fullness of life. Forgive us in our sins, and help us to always feel that we are your children, called to love one another. And to you be the glory as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. At this time of the service, we share what we have been able to set apart for the offering. And while the offering is being collected, I will light the peace candle. Welcome. O Lord, we dedicate the offering, what is in the plate, what we give in different ways, the box that will be taken to the food collective, that all, multiplied through your love for us in this world, may be a way of proclaiming grace, mercy, hope. Amen. Amen. And we share the words of the grace together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. A few seconds, the choir is to sing a well-known setting of the 23rd Psalm, which we are sure many of you will recognize. And if you were listening carefully, I think I recognized a few notes just now, but be surprised.
Through the valley of the shadow. The New Testament reading is on page 106 and is from John chapter 15, verses 12 to 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our next hymn is from Sing Praise, hymn 311. The choir will sing the first verse, and then after they finish the first verse, we all join from the beginning to sing the hymn. We hear your word, dear God, and it always challenges us. For Jesus, there are no countries to be conquered, no ideologies to be imposed, no people to be dominated. There are only children, women, men to be loved. Amen. The big question is, how do we love one another? The beginning of the reading you've just heard says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And it seems quite straightforward. And yet this is one of the most complicated matters we have ever faced in our journey of life. Why? Why is it that difficult, given that it has been handed on to us as a marker of our identity, a basis for living as the children of the kingdom, to love one another as I have loved you? Jesus is clearly preparing his disciples for what would soon be coming. In the Gospel of John, chapter 15, this is in the midst of what in the other three Gospels would be the Last Supper. Not one or two chapters, but about four or five chapters. Different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. He is the one that is giving up his life for others. The pinnacle of love. And Jesus is setting out the plan for the way forward. Not for him, but rather for us. It began with the passage previous to this one that you heard just now. Abide in me as I abide in you. He is now establishing a totally new relationship. You are my friends, he says, not servants. And I can never hear this play on words without remembering that years back, 30, 40 years ago, in the docks of Buenos Aires, a boat, a Christian boat, can a boat be Christian? You get the idea, on a Christian mission, that sounds better. And it was called the Doulos. And that's the word in the Testament that you've just heard for slave. Now translated more as servant, but originally it was the concept of slave. But okay, hold on to the concept of servant if that is better. And Jesus says, you are not doulos anymore. And he uses a word that we have in our language for a number of things. He uses the word philoi, which you have in philosophy, the love of wisdom, for example, any of those concepts. So he talks about love and domination in a way. Friendship on one hand, servant, slavery on the other. This is the way ahead, and it comes down to how we treat each other. But just in case we have any doubt, the last sentence in the reading you've just heard sets it out clearly. I am giving you these commands so that you love one another. Friendship is voluntary. Friendship is respectful. Friendship is trusting, affectionate, and it's based on mutuality. A friend will come and tell you honestly, not behind your back, and you can respond in friendship and say things in a different tone than somebody who doesn't care or somebody who's trying to dominate you. Friendship is important. What Jesus is setting out is a complete new way of living. For those of us who define ourselves as Christian, it should be clear that there is no alternative. I am terrified of using the concept of there is no alternative. That was defined in the 80s as Tina, and not Tina Turner. If it had, that would have been fun. There is no alternative. And that was a political, economic way ahead. There is no alternative but what I am presenting you. And it marked this country and marked part of the world in a way that has not been forgotten yet by many people. This one is love one another. So how do we love one another? The first thing is to realize that one another is not only those of us who are here this morning. Bad luck if others decided not to come today. Bank holiday weekend, they didn't come. Take note, we're not supposed to love them because they aren't here this morning. It doesn't work that way. Because for the Sunday we aren't here, if somebody'd use this, we'd be in the doghouse. It doesn't work that way. It's not only our faith community. Of course it is the faith community, but it's more, it's far-reaching than this, and always has been. Worldwide, when the church only catered for itself, it entered a dangerous territory, by which those who weren't or aren't of the faith of the community were considered enemies even, strangers. And that's not what Jesus meant. Jesus always wanted us to see further and probably even more wider, not limited by the blinkers that the world wants to impose on us, to see in one direction only. To see if I cover myself like this, after Zina, nobody exists. There is no choir. Jeff, I just get a blur. But I see everybody else all right. Now, if I take the blinkers off, suddenly Jeff is there, the choir is there. Are they one another to me? Or is only this? And for those who are listening and trying to work out what this is, I've used my hands as blinkers. And we can remember when the church defined friendship as those who look like us, think like us, dress like us, speak like us. But that's not what Jesus meant. In two Sundays, we'll be celebrating Pentecost, a reminder of the wideness and the variety and the diversity that the church was called to. The readings from then on will be the mission of the church to the world. Things had happened already and had been changing as they go on. Jesus didn't want to impose limits. Try and think of the times that Jesus said, "This is the limit, beyond that I'm not going." Try and think of the time that Jesus said, "Oh, not for you." Try and think of the times you know that existed when Jesus was criticized because he did exactly what people were thinking he shouldn't do. You can't let this person touch you, they're impure. Go ahead and I cure you. In the Gospel of John, chapter 4, disciples come back and find him talking to a woman and a Samaritan woman at that. God forgive and God forget. And it changed lives, not for that woman only, but for the whole village. At this time in history, do you know what the most popular churches are? They're the expressions of Christianity that have a vertical concept of authority. So, I'm the minister. I tell you what to do. And God help if you don't do it. I'm not joking. Can't imagine the times in the 40 years of my ministry where elders didn't see the joke and me trying to tell them what to do and told me where to go. No respect for authority whatsoever. Where women are marginalized from any high level of decision, it's all right to serve the table, it's all right to make the tea and coffee, but you don't take decisions. You don't speak in front of men.
Do you think I'm exaggerating? I'm not. Leading the sacraments on women, God, what's the world come to? And I love to think that in June we'll be celebrating with Margaret Williams 50 years of having been consecrated to preach the word. One of the, in our area, probably one of the most long-standing ones. That the what is the URC now has had women ordained for 100 years plus. And did the heavens open and anybody be struck by lightning because of that? Or was it what God wanted for us? Were the link to human authority with God's authority, that often quoted of Romans 13, anybody in authority is because God wants them to be in authority. I was brought up, I lived under 6 dictatorships in my life. You will not convince me that any of them were what God wanted. 30,000 disappeared in the last dictatorship. Is that God's will? The flying nuns that you've heard me talk about before, doped, put into a plane, door opened over the River Plate, and out they were thrown, still alive, so the river would smash them to pieces and they would disappear. That is God's will. That is human's will. Critical thinking rejected. It's what I say or it's what I say. We're a church that always has invited people. Let's talk, let's share, let's listen to what other people are saying. And this is so different from what began with Jesus over 2,000 years ago. He began a movement of equality, of emancipation, of liberation, of peace, where women were part of the movement. Weren't they the first ones to run and announce the resurrection on that morning? Okay, men didn't believe them. They had to go and see for themselves, but it was true. Where power was life-serving. What is needed today in all our religions, Christianity among them, is to teach the value and respect for our planet, to love our neighbor. And that does not mean only the person that lives next to us or the person that's sitting beside you, behind you, in front of you this morning. We know. We know. And we can't get away from it. It includes the refugee, the sick, the poor, the outsider, the outcast, even the enemy. We need to learn to love as interdependence. We need each other. Love over money and competition. The urgent need to establish gender equality. As a church, we're on the road to becoming anti-racist, not non-racist, but anti-racist. It is a United Reformed Church policy agreed to in General Assembly. Living with compassion and wisdom instead of greed and arrogance. We also need to recover our voice calling power to account. We're happy because within the United Reformed Church, we have the Joint Public Issues Team, JPIT, together with the Baptist Church and the Methodist Church. And they do a good job reminding us of so much. But we can't let them do it if we don't take it up as a national church, as a local church, to proclaim God's truth and God's far-reaching love. I don't want to repeat myself from what I said in my report to the annual church meeting a couple of Sundays ago, but it's there as well. Who are those that don't feel that the church is something they want to belong to? We all know they're around. Why? Have they lost confidence in the church? Have they suffered in the church? Have they not been part of the one another? How are we going to revert this? We can't wait for the future. Future begins by taking steps now. There are two things I always say to families I have chats with. For example, for a baptism or a wedding. And they always begin by saying, oh, for example, at a baptism, cousins will be coming as well. Or you've got a little brother or sister who is quite boisterous. Welcome. Let them come. If we tell them not to bring them, we have slammed the door in the face of the future. Make a bit of noise. Make a joyful sound to the Lord. I've never worried about that. For a wedding, when we celebrate and we do, yes, our nephews and nieces will be here, and the service is going to be a little bit long. Okay. As long as they don't trip the bride up when she's walking in or out, as long as they're happy and want to sit on the steps and look from the front, what's the problem? Abiding in Jesus takes work, and it requires an intention, and it has consequences. To love Jesus is to be friend with Jesus, and to be friends with those who Jesus called friends. And Jesus chooses to do this and invites us to choose this as well. It goes back to the first words of the reading today. As we are loved, we should love. So here at Emmanuel with Highworth, the Old Town Partnership of Churches, our National United Reformed Church, and the churches up and down this country, the question is still the same. How are we going to love one another? And we will need to respond. I'm not saying we aren't doing it. I'm saying we can be better at it. And we can be more intentional about it. May God help us on the journey. Because this is the world he loved to the very end. Amen. From Sing Praise, we are going to sing hymn 250. And again, like we did just now, the choir will sing the first verse, and then we will all join together with all the verses. Life of the world is a glorious treasure, unfolding in beauty the green growing tree, the changing of seasons in mountain and valley, the stars and the bright restless sea. Life of the world is fountain of goodness, overflowing in labor.
Please will now lead us in the prayers of intercession for this morning.
In this world and at this time, we are very much aware that we can become overwhelmed by the needs and pressures upon others and also upon ourselves. Let us intercede sincerely for others, me praying for you, you praying for me, and us all praying for each other here in the wider world. As C.S. Lewis wrote, "May it be the real I who speaks, may it be the real thou that I speak to." Jesus, you see the real me, the real us. You see what lays heavily in our hearts. Help us to see the true God and not to confine the Almighty by our poor reach of mind. Shine a light to guide us as we search for answers and cling to hope. As has become a norm or regular feature of our prayers, we pray for those living in war-torn countries. We pray in hope for Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, and Israel, for the aggressors and the victims. Conflicts that seem to roll on incessantly, never pausing, never ceasing. We also pray for the many other areas of hostilities within our world: Somalia, Afghanistan, Iran, Syria, Myanmar, Sudan, the list goes on. We feel that we should be aware of what is happening, fearing that in so doing we become numb to the incessant reporting of cruelty and evil. The temptation to turn our backs is ever strong. How many atrocities can we bear to hear of? How long before we close our eyes and cry out in the shared pain? These wars affect us all. We pray for those made homeless, jobless, friendless. We pray for those who fear for their futures, their families, their sanity. We pray for glimmers of light, for fresh hope in humanity, for endings and new beginnings. We pray for peacemakers, searchers of truth, and those who do the little they can to work for the good. Lord Jesus, in our loss, show us the way ahead. Show us how we can help our brothers and sisters caught up in devastating circumstances. Give us the strength to let the normality or frequency of our prayers not diminish our concern or sincerity. We pray for those with power and those who hope to gain power as national elections around the world proceed throughout this busy year. May elections be fair and transparent, and may true democracy be allowed to exist. May people be allowed to exercise their right to vote safely and without intimidation. May truth and justice be in evidence, and may we have clarity of vision to see the truth for what it is. We draw nearer to home and think of those who have recently been elected in local elections. We ask that they may make wise choices and that they may be blessed with integrity and wisdom and not be tied by short-termism and personal ambition. We remember those who serve in our own church and partnership of churches here in Old Town. We pray for our ministers, Robert, Rach, and Simon. We pray that Simon will be refreshed and invigorated by the sabbatical he is starting this month. We remember our elders, especially those who are experiencing the role for the first time. May they serve thoughtfully and with love. We remember those who provide music and words in worship. May we have ears to hear and hearts that are ready to respond. May our church be a community that is open to new people and new ideas, welcoming and inclusive, recognizing that we are all children of God. We think of those who are unwell, whether they are troubled mentally, emotionally, or physically. We pray for those who care for them, friends, family, nurses, doctors, and professional carers. We think of the families and individuals involved. In the silence, we remember those we know who are presently troubled in this way. May God's tireless love and compassion be felt by them today. God of life, give us the imagination and the courage to work for a better future. Help us to see power in the smallest of actions so that we never give up. Amen.
Thank you so much, Liz. And our final hymn for this morning, hymn 477, Let There Be Love Shared Among Us, and we will sing it twice. From Rejoice and Sing. Taken my blinkers off, I stand here where I can see you all, and through that window I can see the houses in front, to where you will be heading in a few moments. Not to the houses in front, but to where we go. If you can't stay to share a time of coffee, tea, and chat, do so. If you have to leave, leave. But go in the love of God. Recognize what God is showing us. Listen to the groans of creation and to the kindness that is around us. And may the blessing of God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, fill our lives with love. Love for one another, because we were loved first. Amen.